Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to Colchonero Chat, a Saturday edition. I'm Jeremy Barron. I'm joined, as usual, by Robbie Dunn. And Robbie, we've had enough of this 2-2 and 3-2 and 3-3 nonsense. Let's get back to basics. Atletico get a 1-0 win over Osasuna on Saturday. Your initial reaction to the result?
When it was kind of creeping towards a 0-0 draw, I was thinking this is absolutely terrible. But when Felipe got that goal, I was thinking this is actually an excellent result. They grounded out. They've got like some really, really difficult games coming up, and I think that just by grounding out, they were able to get over a difficult opponent as well. Like, and I guess a lot of the time the scoreline ends up kind of driving the narrative. Mm. And if they had it drawn, it would have been terrible. But to win, all of a sudden, things are okay. And I'm not entirely convinced of that. But at the end of the day, if it creeps Atletico closer to... It keeps Atletico up to speed. Or it keeps Atletico on pace with the leaders. And I think that that's right now the most important thing.
Yep, definitely, to just stay within touching distance, right? Sevilla dropped points earlier on Saturday. They drew 2-2 with Alaves. Barcelona are playing Espanyol in Xavi's return as coach. And Madrid play Granada tomorrow, so we'll see how the rest of the results in the top four shake out. But in a vacuum, this was pretty much a required response for Atletico after the result that sent them into the international break. When they played much better in that game against Valencia when they were 3-1 up, but eventually drew. They played, I think, comparatively a worse game against Osasuna, Robbie, but hey, that's football, right? Sometimes you play well and don't get the result. Sometimes you play not so well and get the win you're looking for, even if it's by this slim a margin.
Yeah, and the first 45 minutes, Atletico just coasted through it. Worrying, yeah, I think there's a lot of concern there for me anyway still as to, I was just thinking, actually when I just went down to the shop to buy some water at half time, and I was just thinking that if Atletico do win this league, it'll be fine and it'll be celebrated and it'll go down the history books, but there's nothing that identifies this Atletico team. There's nothing that stands out, or there's nothing, I don't know what they're trying to do. They don't have an identity. Mm. Even the critics of Cholismo 1.0, at least they had an identity and they stuck to it. This one, I don't really know what the plan is. I don't know what the starting 11 is, and I understand it's been completely disrupted by international football, by injuries, by suspensions, by a difficult Champions League group, and he hasn't been able to kind of get a settled 11, and he's been kind of fighting fires all season. But I don't know. It feels like they're waiting to go on a run, and we are watching them waiting them to go on a run. But it's just not happening.
Mm.
And I'm not entirely sure that a Felipe header in the 88 minute or whatever it was, cover over the cracks of that.
Sure. No, that's a very decent point. It's a very good point, a well-taken point. I wrote about this a little bit during the break in one of my columns about Atletico's new identity, as it were, based on, you know, the 3-5-2 or the 3-4-3 formation, playing with much more fluidity between the lines, developing to more of an attacking side. So naturally, in the first game after the break, Atletico put all that on under lock and key. Simeone returns to the four-man back line. The first half is really kind of a slog against an Osasuna team that, well, Atletico kind of played into their hands a bit, right? Osasuna are a really compact side, a five-man back line with three center backs, all of whom are really good in the air. Their three center backs, Robbie, Unai Garcia, David Garcia, and Juan Cruz, combined for 30 clearances in this game. And as you pointed out on Twitter after the game, by tweeting out a very handy graphic, Atletico attempted a whopping 46 crosses in this game and only completed 7. What do you think was the thinking behind that strategy? Did it not play directly into Osasuna's own strategy?
See, this is where I think Simeone was playing chess. You, Jeremy, are playing checkers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But I think maybe now I have no idea, but what he might have been thinking was, A, we don't want to give away the ball in central positions and let Osasuna attack us from the middle. If we're going to lose the ball, it's going to be like clearances and that. And also, I think Simeone might have said was, what he might have said was, okay, it looks like we're playing into your hands, and in a way it might in the end, but I feel like, and I know, that if we put in that many crosses, we will get one. And that's what he was banking on, and it worked. And as I said, like, that's the narrative, and that's the way Simeone will look at this, and it's 3 points. And at the end of the day, it worked. Now, obviously, it was frustrating for a lot of the time, but I think maybe Simeone was thinking that we can't run into them in the middle where they are really strong, where the likes of Lemar, Griezmann, and aren't particularly strong. Like, obviously they're strong on the ball, but if they're not physically imposing players, when they run into a nest of Osasuna players, they're not gonna come out on top. So I think that maybe he was thinking, okay, we will play into their hands a little bit, but at the same time, it will completely nullify their threat on the counter.
And that is essentially what happened. Osasuna had only one really good chance when the game was goalless, for the 87 minutes it was goalless, when Lucas Toro had this spinning shot from outside the box. Oblak had to save it really well in the first half.
Incredible, yeah.
Yeah, fabulous save. One of his best this season, in a season where he hasn't made too many. Compared to previous campaigns, that was really Osasuna's only chance. So from that standpoint, Cholo's strategy worked. And just the sheer volume of crosses, eventually, the thinking goes, eventually Atletico are going to get one. And they did at the very end of the game. A guy that we've talked about quite a bit recently for the wrong reasons, Robbie, Felipe. Felipe Airlines taking off in the 87th minute. A great moment for him. Maybe it doesn't paper over the cracks in Atletico's defense and some of the other problems they've had this season, but he needed that goal. Atleti's defense needed that kind of presence in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was interviewed after the game, and he was smiling, and he was saying, I haven't scored in a very long time. And regardless of how he's been playing, we've seen he's capable of playing well. So we spoke about this before on a podcast where I was saying how sometimes with players, it's one of three things. They don't know how to, they can't, or they don't want to.
Right.
With him, it was never the idea that he couldn't do it. We knew he could. It was just maybe he was second guessing himself, wasn't comfortable in the system. It was a confidence issue. And I think obviously going back to getting Savage beside him and going back to a more traditional defense that he's used to playing in definitely helped him. And those kind of moments can definitely help the player's confidence. And I wouldn't, I wouldn't be writing Felipe off just yet either. If he can get his confidence back, because we've seen that he can do it.
Yeah, we've seen him play very well in this back four before. In the back three, the results have been less convincing, right? He's been much less steady. And there are reports now that Atletico are in talks with Felipe about a possible contract extension. Performances like this will help. He looked really steady and secure in this game. High passing accuracy, made 5 clearances, tied for the team lead. And of course, the game-winning goal, and it did come off a mistake. Atletico had to insist and be very patient in this game, but Sergio Herrera comes out to try to punch this corner clear and leaves the entire back of the net open where Felipe can just hit this back header in behind him and win the game.
Yeah, and it came from that side as well. I know that it was a corner and everything, but Atletico, if they were going to get a goal, it felt like it was going to come from that corner or that side of the field as well. Yannick Carrasco was just, I don't know how incredible you can be in a nil all in a game with just so low scoring, but he really did look really good, and he looked like Atletico's where the source of inspiration was going to come from.
Yeah, he was a live wire in this game. That was one of his 5 key passes, the assist for Felipe. Just all the crosses coming in from both sides as well. Shime Rusalko out on the right making his first start this season. Got a broken nose for his efforts in this game, but he put in a really good shift too, I thought.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was kind of strange. He was part of the crossing gang. He was kind of whipping in crosses left, right, and center. Well, not left, right, and center. Mostly right and center. But he was lobbing in crosses all night. And there's one stage at the start of the second half where he crossed one, and Simeone obviously said something to him, and Rusalko turned around and told him, like, "Calm down. I'm doing." Now I don't know what the exchange was about. Maybe Simeone was telling him to cross it in a different way, cross it in earlier, cross it in a bit later. But I don't know what that was about. But and then he stood up to Simeone. He said it to him. He said, "Relax, like I've got this." And he put in a couple of decent crosses. He doesn't offer kind of as much. He doesn't get ahead of the ball as often as Kieran Trippier. So he doesn't kind of spread out the defense as much, but. I thought he played well, given the fact that he was absolutely written off about a couple of weeks ago. Like we hadn't seen him in an Atletico jersey in a long time. We thought he was a goner, pretty much. I think he did fine.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much done for, out of contract at the end of the year. Trippier clearly preferred to him, but this is now back-to-back games against Valencia and Osasuna, where he's acquitted himself rather well on that right-hand side, and maybe there's more competition there than we think. And he's another player who to me has always looked better in a 4-man back line. Looking at the next couple games, looking not too far ahead, but do you think this is what Simeone's going to return to in the upcoming fixtures? A 4-man back line where Atletico look more secure, but it might come at the cost of some of this offensive fluidity, or is this just a one-time thing?
Maybe what he's trying to do is protect Felipe and protect Rusalko, because like you said, they do play better in a more traditional four-man backline, and it also, but at the same time, I know Llorente was subbed off in the end after 75 minutes, but I didn't think he looked as lively as he normally does. Obviously not match fit, hasn't played in a long time, and neither did Tomas Lemar. I don't know how long João Félix is out for. What actually happened to him?
He apparently took a blow to the calf in training on Wednesday And the couple of the reports I read said he'll be out until the derby against Madrid on December 12th. Cholo, in his press conference on Friday, said hopefully he'll be back next weekend. So no one really knows when he'll be back.
Okay, yeah, no, sorry, I didn't actually see what exactly the injury was, but I don't know. I think Atletico struggle with they didn't struggle today with it really. Well, they did in a way in that they have no presence centrally. I think they've got obviously Correa and Lamar kind of dropping off Griezmann today and Griezmann dropping, but they need a central figure like Joe Felix operating in the middle. And it just feels like a kind of like a black hole there where there's nothing happening. It's all, everything happens on the wings, which is fine to an extent, but it also kind of limits how dangerous you can be centrally. So I don't really know. Like, Rodrigo de Paul is obviously going to start, and he brought Rodrigo de Paul on, and he played with Llorente for 10 minutes. And if Llorente can get back up to speed and maybe a midfield of. Maybe a midfield of Koke, Llorente, Rodrigo de Paul in the three, and then Griezmann, Suarez, and Lamar, I think. Might be what he might be looking at. You're left in with four at the back, so yeah, I don't know actually. I haven't really thought this one through.
Spitballing.
I'm just kind of trying to fit because. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, what he's going to do, because that was kind of strange today, given how they had been playing. And I don't think it was convincing by any means, so I don't know.
Yeah, not
I
especially.
Don't know what he's going to do.
I do think you're right about potentially dropping Griezmann and Lemar back on either side of Suarez. That's something that could work, because you're right. Most of Atletico's attacks in this game went to die whenever they tried to go to the middle, and they really missed that reference point. They really missed having Suarez or Felix out there for most of this game. Suarez came on for the final 25 minutes, but he was rather busy over the international break trying to save Uruguay from the abyss in the South American qualifiers, while De Paul also played pretty much every minute for Argentina. So that certainly informed some of the team selection on Saturday, without those guys being available for all 90 minutes. I thought Correa also kind of had a tough game. Too many ball losses. Lemar looked a bit rusty. Llorente got going after halftime, but he hasn't played in a month, 6 weeks, really. Yeah. So, but yeah, Llorente coming back I think could be very important, because there is a guy who can help free up Koke. And in with his speed and with his athleticism, his ability to recover the ball. But in the second half, we saw Correa and Vrsaljko both seek him out with those vertical passes into space that he loves those passes. And it was a tactic that Osasuna weren't quite ready for after shutting it down pretty effectively in the first half. Atletico upped the intensity a bit, and that helped a bit, having Llorente run into space. It's going to be interesting to see how Cholo balances that, because they do need a presence next to Koke so he doesn't get overworked. But Llorente chasing after those balls into space, it really does aid their attack.
Yeah, I think that midfield three would look good and would definitely free up Koke, because right now he's playing Llorente to the right of him, and that means Koke has to cover everything to the left of him. So if you had Llorente or De Paul to the right, and then whoever's left on the left, it means Koke can just focus on that central position and just moving up and down the field rather than having to move across as well. So I think that might help. But the problem with that then is that you're taking away an attacker, or you're taking away an attacker. So then you're left with either, well, Carrasco has to start, and it feels like Lemar is a starter, Suarez is a starter, Griezmann is a starter. So then you're left with Correa, Joe Felix out in the team. And yeah, man, that's an awful pity about Joe Felix getting injured again, because, like, I don't know, there's just something, he just doesn't fit into this team as well as he's played on occasions this season. It's just another, it feels like another we're nearly halfway through the year, like, and it just feels like another season where he hasn't quite got going and showed glimpses and showed flashes, and there's absolutely no doubt that he is going to be world class, but I just don't know if he's going to be world class at Atletico or not.
Yeah, I had the same thought this week. Just that's a bit of news that leaves you a little crestfallen, right? Because he's been basically been playing injured for 2 years. He has the surgery this offseason, then he gets hurt again right when he seems to be approaching form, when he seems to be really close to taking that next step, and now we're not going to see him for the next couple games at least, if not longer. It's difficult for him, but it's also opportunities for others. For Correa to start in this game, which he did, for Mateus Cunha to get more minutes. I'm telling you, Robbie, the Mateus Cunha theorem, it's got legs. He comes on, it's goalless, Atletico end up winning 1-0. There's something to this, man.
Actually, you know what? I was thinking about writing an article on managing. Now, I don't know how difficult it would be to kind of figure out the data, but how the influence managers swatch substitutions have on games. So, like, a player comes on, he got as a, the XG of a player accumulates as a sub. Do you get me?
Yes. Even if he's not like, directly contributing to goals, just his mere presence.
Well, no, this is the problem. So, Cunha wouldn't come up on this stat because he's not actually doing anything. He's just kind of there. Your theory is he's got something, an aura about him. That's your theory. But
that is.
He's going to show up in the stats. The Mateus Cunha theory. But, I think Atletico were kind of pushing for the goal before he came on. And they probably did deserve, on balance, they probably did deserve to win the game. But I just feel like it was. You have to remember, we do have to kind of take into account just how good Osasuna are and how physical they are. And I think maybe Simeone just said, look, we're going to go retro here for one game. And I know that I have the players with the physical ability to beat these guys. And when it comes to the crunch, we'll beat them on quality then. And that's what happened.
Yeah, they did just about enough. And yeah, Osasuna are really one of the tougher teams to play in La Liga. Arrasate has this team really well organized.
Yeah.
They have three big, burly, physical center backs. Manu Sanchez, who's on loan from Atletico, has been great at left back this year. And they have forwards who are capable of winning the ball in the air. Ante Budimir has been a nightmare for Atletico in recent games. Kike Garcia, a long-time player for Eibar before they were relegated. He was their captain. He's a guy who spent half this game on the floor, but he's also really good at holding up play, winning the ball in the air. Roberto Torres has been there forever. Jimmy Avila, he's overcome a lot in terms of the knee injuries to still play quality minutes and important minutes for this team. They're a tough team to beat. They're a tough nut to crack, and it took one mistake, and Atletico did find a way. It's difficult to draw many conclusions from this game other than Atletico weren't terribly convincing. It's coming back from a particularly difficult international break for several players playing the South American qualifiers. Maybe it is just a one-game thing where Atletico turned back the clock and the Uno Serismo makes a return. But at a critical time, Atletico had to have this game to stay within touching distance in the top four. Very important on a day where Sevilla dropped points as well. What other stray observations did you have from this one?
No, just when you were talking there, and I was thinking that during the game, like you're right, and that international break, it was and it has been particularly tough for Atletico, given the fact that two of their main players play in South America, and Suarez isn't getting any younger, so
right.
it's even more difficult for him. So I think it was just about getting over the line tonight and kind of a tough run of games coming into Christmas, and I think we just have to kind of make peace with the fact that Atletico, this isn't going to be pretty at any point in the year. We I might be wrong, but we could probably give up on the fact that Atletico are just all of a sudden going to turn into some kind of a free-flowing machine. That's not going to happen.
Mm.
But the good thing for Atletico is that La Liga is competitive this year, and they have the quality. So if they can just grind out results right now, and come February, March, and April, they will have the quality then to and the experience from last year to get them over the line. So I think we need to kind of reset expectations on how well this team is going to play, because it's unbalanced. It's a strange, I don't mean strange in a bad way, but it's a strange bunch of players in that they're seriously top heavy in attack with an aging Luis Suarez, and a couple of really good younger, well, Lemar isn't that young now, but a couple of younger kind of players that play similar roles, like Correa, Felix, and Lemar. You've got Llorente and Rodrigo de Paul, two unique styled players in their capacity to get through work. And they're both unique, but they're both similar to each other on the same team. So there has to be allowances made for that. And I think that Simeone, and we've seen Simeone struggling to figure this out. And then you add injuries in on top of that, you add the international breaks in on top of that, and I just think that it's going to be a matter of getting over the line here this season for Atletico, rather than being some coherent like a Barcelona under Pep Guardiola or anything like that. It's just not going to happen.
Yes, it's not going to be champagne football.
No,
not consistently anyway. But you know, that's why wins like this, you place a premium on getting clean sheets, especially in Atletico's case when the defense has been so leaky this year. You place a premium on just grinding out results some nights when you don't have your full squad available. And we'll see what happens when Trippier and Felix return, whenever they return, whether that's next month or in January. And the season is long. This was said a lot last season. It's already being said this season. La Liga es larga. It's a long league. It's 38 rounds, and there is a wider margin than there has been in previous years. So wins like this are pretty valuable.
And it feels like the international breaks have broken up the season a lot. Was it always like this? It feels like there's more international breaks now, or I don't know. It just feels like we haven't really gotten a proper run of games. But also it's been tough in that sense. But also when you look around and you look at the other teams, there's no one playing really beautiful football right now. So I don't know whether that's just a thing with fatigue or with the international breaks and I don't know what it is, but it's, there's nobody playing outstanding beautiful football. Xavi at Barcelona might kind of straighten the ship there for them, but yeah, I think that Simeone is kind of reading the competition and saying, look, forget about playing beautiful football, let's just get wins here and see where it takes us. Mm-hmm. and that doesn't really bode well for them in Europe, because I think they could end up getting a bit of a shellacking. But I think that in La Liga it'll suit them just fine.
Well, that's a good segue, Robbie. Let's talk about Europe here. Atletico's next game is against Milan in the Champions League on Wednesday. Milan are currently down 2-0 to Fiorentina in Serie A. They have not lost yet in Serie A, and Milan are playing close to a full-strength team in this game. This is a big one for Atletico, right? Failure to win here would not necessarily mean doom, because Liverpool will be favored quite heavily to beat Porto and help Atletico out. But this is one that Atletico are obliged to win. This is one that you also have to keep the to stay in control of your destiny. As much as I dislike that phrase, it's all in Atletico's hands. They depend on themselves in the Champions League.
Yeah, and I just wonder, AC Milan obviously haven't won the league, won the Scudetto in a long time, and they're really going for it this year with that group of players. They're out of the Champions League, so I just wonder. Sorry, they're not technically out of the Champions League, but they're as good as out of the Champions League.
Yeah,
possibly. Yeah, so I just wonder, like, will they? Maybe, I think Atletico would be favourite in that as well. And I don't know. Like I've said, I mean, I don't really fully trust this Atletico to because anytime you think that they're going to get a run of games going, and then you watch them today against Osasuna, and granted, Osasuna are a decent side and difficult to play against, but just haven't convinced me at all this season. And just to kind of, Not to contradict myself from before, but just to kind of add on to that before, like, that's fine playing scrappy football and everything until the results stop. When the results stop, that's when you start getting seriously criticised and the negative vibes come back and things like that. So it's all well and good grinding out results, but unsophisticated football, we'll call it. But when you're getting results, that's fine. You can do whatever you want. But when those results stop, and they haven't been amazing either this season. Like, it's not like they are grinding out results like they did in the past. Some really poor results this season. So if they can manage to keep winning those scrappy games, that's fine. But if the results stop coming, I don't know. What's the point?
Yeah, I do wonder which Milan team we're going to see Wednesday, because they are a top Scudetto contender this year. They are already 7 points clear of Inter and Atalanta atop the table. They're level on points with Napoli, although a loss today to Fiorentina wouldn't help their case. It seems kind of clear at this point that they're going to try to win the Scudetto for the first time in however many years it's been. It's been at least a decade, I think, for Milan. So you wonder... they'll turn up Wednesday, of course, but you wonder just the strength, the relative strength of the side they're gonna throw out there. It's in Madrid. Atletico's Champions League home record under Simeone is quite imposing, and this is one Atletico have to have. And there have been games in Europe the past couple of years that have been must wins, and Atletico have won them. A couple of years ago, basically a playoff against Lokomotiv in Madrid, Atletico rolled to a 2-0 win there. Last year at Salzburg, a win was basically required to get out of the group stage. Atletico won 2-0 in another classic Cholo game. I think we'll see something similar here. I think the stakes are really high for Atletico. They're at home. They're coming off a victory that isn't pretty, but it's one of those results that does give you confidence, particularly defensively, and Atletico do need that. So I'm going to go with an Atletico win here, and it's certainly still possible. It all comes down to match day 6 in Portugal. But Griezmann will play after UEFA, on appeal, reduced his suspension from the 2 games to 1 game. Felipe will not play, meaning Jose Jimenez will step back in for him. But Griezmann being present, especially with Joao injured, that could prove decisive. I'm going to go with an Atletico win, and I'm somewhat confident about it. That will probably come back to bite me, but for now, somewhat confident in that prediction.
Just get Cunha on the field, man.
That's right. That's right. I'm saying there's something to it.
Yeah, I've been saying it all along. But as strange as it sounds, I feel confident that Atletico, because I do think Griezmann had a couple of nice shots, and that goal against Valencia was just incredible. But
yeah.
He had actually another one that was quite similar today, not as far out, but one of those kind of curlers where he stops on a dime and then he turns and shoots and tries to curl the top corner. But he had another couple of nice chances in the first half today, but no, he was poor. But I do think he's kind of getting back to his best, and I think that the cobwebs are they've shook the cobwebs off after the international break. Now got the win against Osasuna, and I think that maybe they can put a couple of wins together back to back.
Is this where Atletico metaphorically turn the corner? Well, we're gonna find out on Wednesday. That'll do it for us on this edition of Colchonero Chat. Robbie, thank you so much for joining the show today.
No problem at all, Jeremy. We'll chat on Wednesday, I'm sure.
Indeed, we will. We will be back on Wednesday. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for your continued support on IntoTheCalderon.com, on social media, also on our Patreon page, patreon.com/ColtGennaroChat, where you can get access to a bunch of exclusive goodies, more Atletico audio goodness. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back Wednesday. Adios.